and welcome once again. My turn place to three scriptures. The first in the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter of the book of Isaiah, reading verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The second section in the book of the Psalms. Psalm 17. I'm reading verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy lightness. The final scripture in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Once again, God will bless these readings from His precious Word. I always find it gratifying to see a selection of hymns in keeping with the message of the evening. Some time ago in Spanish Wells, I selected some scriptures relating to two whys. And the choir sung that night, "Why should I do without Him?" It's my exercise tonight to talk to you about the faith of the Lord Jesus. And so it's gratifying that we had the choir sing and other numbers relating to the faith of the Lord Jesus. In these three scriptures we read, first of all, in the book of Isaiah chapter 50, we have His sorrowful face. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. In the second scripture, as for me, I shall behold His face in righteousness, His smiling face. And that sad section we read in Revelation 20, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, the severe face. So tonight I want to talk to you about the face of a man that we shall all see. The face of a man that we shall all see. But it depends on our attitude toward Him now. That will determine how we shall see Him by and by. Because we're assured from the Word of God, and every eye shall see Him. But once again, depends on your attitude toward Him now. That will determine how you will see Him in eternity. The face is the index of the mind. The various passions of the human frame are always registered in the face. If a man is sad, you can tell it in his face. If a man is happy, you can tell it in his face. And if a man is angry, you can tell it in his face. And the most expressive and impressive face of any man is the face of the Son of God. Whether it be a sorrowful face of Isaiah 50, a smiling face of Psalm 17, or a severe face of Revelation 20, his is the most expressive face that has ever or will be seen. And so there's a challenge tonight in these messages that we have read. The sorrowful face. He was the most beautiful child that was ever born. Fairer than the sons of men. Unparalleled in his beauty. But soon that face became the target for the male fists of the soldiers. And you can almost hear the hiss of the serpent in Matthew's account of the trial and the death of Jesus Christ. The soldiers. They smote him. They put on him the scarlet robe. And they spat upon him. You can almost hear the hiss of the serpent. That sorrowful face. He gave his back to the smiters. His cheeks to them that plucked of the hair. He hid not his face from shame. And spitting. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior. You've heard me quote before, but it's my favorite poem and it keeps coming before me day by day. The maker of the universe as man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bough, where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mine, in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung, the tree in which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The skies which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The spear which spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. And a new glory crowns his brow. And every knee to him shall bow. Be assured, friend, one day you will see face to face the Son of God. But again, depends on your attitude toward him now on the planet Earth. That will determine how you will see him by and by. His sorrowful face. But you and I will never see that phase of his face. For 'tis past the dark and weary night, and Lord, we hail thee now, the morning star without a cloud of sadness on thy brow. That's finished. Ne'er again will cruel sinners say that not our glorious Lord. But you have a choice tonight. You will either see a smiling face, or you will see a severe face. You alone make the choice. And thank God tonight this is still God's day of salvation and Christ Jesus receiveth sinful men. Tonight, there could be a turning point in your life. And be assured, on the authority of God's word, that you will see His smiling face. As for me, I shall behold His face and righteousness. What about you? That's what the psalmist says. As for me, I shall behold His face in righteousness and be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. Notice, first of all, the personal association. As for me. Salvation is a personal thing. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save men and women personally. And tonight, you can have a special dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. There was Saul of Tarsus, bound in chains, and he's brought before King Agrippa. And he says, I am happy, O King Agrippa. What are you happy about, Paul? You're a prisoner in chains. But he was happy to tell King Agrippa of the personal association that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. He was happy to tell of the day he got saved. And every time that he spoke about his conversion, it seemed to be magnified in his own heart. First of all, it was a light shining above the brightness of the noonday sun, and then it seemed to be magnified as he spoke about his conversion, a personal association. I wonder tonight, can you say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you say with Paul, what things were gained to me, those I counted but lost, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord? Can you say with Thomas, my Lord and my God? Can you say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter day shall stand upon the earth, though after worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Personal association. And the Lord Jesus Christ is calling people personally. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Even the virgin, the vehicle that brought the Savior into the world, she realized that while she held on her lap God manifest in the flesh, that she had to have a personal dealing with the babe on her lap. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. A personal association. But then the psalmist speaks about perfect occupation. His face. The great Fanny Crosby, who is buried in Bridgeport, Connecticut, just about 100 miles from where we live in Massachusetts. Outstanding poetess. Songwriter. But there were two verses of scripture that were specially precious to her, and one is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners travel around the streets till the silver cord is broken. And then the other scripture was in Revelation chapter 22, and they shall see his face. And these two scriptures were very precious to Fanny Crosby. And so she penned a hymn that she called her soul hymn. and she kept it secret for many years. Until one day she was in Northfield, Massachusetts, at a conference, and D.L. Moody asked her to sing. And so she related that particular day about the two scriptures and the hymn that she composed, that she kept a secret, her soul hymn. And that day with great joy she sang at that conference ground. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now I sing. But oh, the joy when I awake in the palace of the King, to see his face and tell the story saved by grace. At the age of 25 years of age, for the first time, she saw the King in all his beauty. He once had a preacher in the north of Ireland, a blind preacher, in an open air, say, "His face will be the first face I shall ever see. Oh, what anticipation! As for me, I shall behold his face. Perfect occupation." That day is fast approaching, my friend. You might not ever have a gospel crusade, because Christ could come tonight. We believe on the authority of God's word that that event is very, very near. He says, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And I am simply amazed at the patience of our God and the patience of the Lord Jesus, that he has waited 2,000 years. God has waited 2,000 years for the public manifestation of his Son. He's just longing for the day when he'll present him to wondering worlds as the supreme authority, as his King. As the psalmist says, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King." And God has waited 2,000 years for that moment. Why? Because he wants to see you saved. He willeth not the death of any. And so in patience he waits and he waits. And the Holy Spirit keeps moving and probing the heart that you might respond. He wants you tonight to receive him and have the assurance that you will see him face to face. We're looking forward to seeing our loved ones again. Face to face. It's when you're absent for a long time, how delightful it is to return home and see your loved ones face to face. I was 2.5 years away from home in World War II in the Mediterranean. And the day came when I was going to come home. I got on a bus in the city of Edinburgh and travel 8 miles to the suburbs. And that old bus, when it was going downhill, was doing well, but going uphill, after 5 years of war, was in bad shape. But finally the moment came when the bus drew into the little town square. As I was getting off the bus, guess who was getting on? My dad. Hadn't seen him in 2.5 years. I couldn't speak. Finally, he spoke. Is it sun? I'm glad you're home. No work today. Let's go home. He was a coal miner, and so he didn't go to work that day. And I rejoiced in those words. Let's go home. Maybe today, the Lord Jesus Christ will say to his people, let's go home. And we'll wing our way from Nassau if he comes tonight. Putting your left feet down on Bay Street and your right foot down on that street of gold is a possibility tonight. Because he has said that where I am, there ye may be also. Perfect association, perfect occupation, and then he says, in righteousness, perpetual gratification. Down here we are overwhelmed with complaints and bitterness and dissatisfaction. But when he comes, then there will be ultimate satisfaction. I shall behold his face in righteousness and be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Not only personal association and perfect occupation, perpetual gratification, but there will be permanent identification. We're going to be like him. Now, God is a God of variety. And I believe that those of you who are saved in this chapel tonight, I'll recognize you in Redemption Avenue. Why? Because God is a God of variety. And Paul says, every seed has its own body. He takes a selection from the field of botany. And he says, every seed has its own body. When you plant carrot seeds, turnips don't come up, carrots come up. And he makes a selection from the field of biology, all flesh is not the same flesh. And so Darwin's theory of evolution goes out the window. All flesh is not the same flesh. No wonder Dr. Darwin, who was the nephew of Charles Darwin, of evolution fame, closing his presidential address to the Royal Society in Cape Town in 1912, said, as yet, the riddle of the universe remains unsolved. Why then do men of renown not turn to the only book which solves the problem in these words? By faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. And the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. This solution has held the field for ages, and it holds it today. And when Darwin, that was his uncle, and his discredited theory are remembered no more, it will still be maintained. God's faith, world's where. And then Paul makes a selection from the field of astronomy, and he says, and every star differeth from another star in glory. So also the resurrection. So we'll recognize each other in the glory. With the joy of pointing an elderly gentleman to the Lord in the city of Detroit, Michigan. And we took him round to see his old sister, about 90 years of age, and she staggered across the room on her shaky legs. She put her arms around him. She says, my brother Jimmy, you're saved at last. I prayed for you every day for over 70 years. 70 years of prayer landed on Uncle Jimmy's head that day. And then she turned to my colleague and I, she said, I might not see you boys again, but I want you to look out for me up there, for I'll be jumping around up there. A new body. No more arthritis, no more pain. A new body. Made like unto his body of glory. How can anyone ever miss going to heaven? His smiling face. I've seen the face of Jesus, wrote Fanny Crosby, blind lady. It smiles on love and me. It fills my heart with rapture, my soul with ecstasy. The scars of deepest anguish were lost in glory bound. I've seen the face of Jesus. It was a wondrous sight. We're going to see his smiling face. But as I close, if you miss seeing his smiling face, be assured, you will not miss seeing the severe face. Every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow to the glory of God the Father. Think of the amalgamated form of worship, adoration in that day. Things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. So friend, is it not wise to bow the knee now and have him as your Savior than to bow the knee in eternity when it's too late? Today you can do it voluntarily, but in that day it will be by compulsion. Every knee shall bow. And I tell you, friend, I'll be a happy man when I see Satan bow the knee to Jesus Christ. The accuser of the brethren, who's caused us so many problems, and he'll bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. We'll stand there on the victor's side with our Savior. And as he's cast into the bottomless pit, a verse we didn't read, will certainly endorse the action and say Amen, so let it be. And John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. When the Lord brought this world into being, he brought it in by a word. He spake and it was done. He commanded and things stood fast. But friend, he's going to remove this world by a look. Think of the severity of the look from that face. From whose face? The heaven and the earth fled away. Now God has been pleased to draw aside the curtain to give us a glimpse of this final assize. This is God's Supreme Court. And already it is called a great white throne. Why is it great? It's great because of the man who sits on that throne. Not nine men like the Supreme Court in the U.S. One man. There'll be no counsel for the defense. The very fact that the ungodly are in his presence at the Supreme Court is the evidence that they rejected him down here. Great because of the man that sits on the throne, the man who died at Calvary that you might not go to the great white throne. And it's great because of the salvation that was available but has been spurned or rejected. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And already, my friend, on God's calendar, the day is fixed. But God hath appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the the man Christ Jesus. And the Revelation tells us that when he opens his mouth, it will be a thunder to those who stand before him. One who will tread the winepress of the wrath of God. Oh, what a picture. Oh, my friend, I appeal to you tonight, be kind to your soul. Don't expose yourself to the danger of dying without Christ and standing at the great white throne. And from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, somewhere in outer space, there will be this law court, this final assize. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, somewhere in outer space. No escape. The dead, small and great. Working, peeping, peeping.